Hello, this is Curtis Bowers. Today I've got a great episode with Trevor Loudon, but I wanted to let you know ahead of time he was having trouble with his mic, and so it's a little staticky. But please listen to the end because there's so much valuable information included. Thanks so much. Hello, I'm Curtis Bowers, and this is Agenda Weekly. I hope you're having a good week. I've got a special treat for you today. A friend of mine, Trevor Loudon, is going to come on, and we're going to talk about 10 steps to save the Republic and just things that we can be doing. So this issue is going to be primarily focused on action. Everyone always wants things to do and something to make a difference. Well, that's what this entire episode is going to be about. I think it's going to be a blessing. I hope you'll watch it over and over again, share it with others, and then start implementing at the local level, starting with your family, your church, your community, and your state, some of these ideas as we move forward, trying to be as effective as we can at standing for the truth and standing against evil. So that's what it's going to be about today. A couple stories I want to just cover quickly before I have Trevor come on. COVID relief. Here's what's amazing. Just the amount that has been spent on COVID relief over the last 12 months. If it would have been given for COVID relief and not just have a title of COVID relief, guess how much would have gone to every single taxpaying citizen? $41,870. Almost $42,000 to every taxpayer. That means a husband and a wife, they would have been getting $84,000 in relief. That would have been some relief. What's amazing about that, $84,000 for each couple, they didn't get that, but they still have the bill for that. That's what the left does when they just waste and waste and waste. We get the bill because, of course, the government has no money. So every couple now is $84,000 deeper in debt, but they only got a couple thousand dollars of that money that they're going to have to pay back at some point, or their children or grandchildren. That's the way big government works. And then one last story before Trevor. Pope calls for New World Order and says wasting COVID crisis would be worse than a pandemic. It's unfortunate. I have a lot of friends that are Catholics, especially in the state of Texas. And I know they're watching this, and I love and appreciate them. I know they're just as sick as I am that the Pope is a Marxist. He is an evil person that has worked his way up to get to the top to use that church for evil. And he said this: we can no longer blitherly accept inequalities and dispositions to the environment. The path to humanity's salvation passes through the creation of a new model of development, which unquestionably focuses on coexistence among peoples in harmony with creation. And then he said, with fair distribution of resources. He's using biblical term salvation. No one is being saved by saving the planet. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. And you will stand before God, each person individually, to give an account. And if you've been forgiven because you accepted what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you, you will be free and clear to enter into heaven, because you'll be as pure as you can be because your sins have been covered. If not, you will be going to hell. And he's saying, no, no, no. The salvation is through modeling socialism and saving the creation through green movement. And anyway, it's just sad. It's so despicable. And then people of the world look at that as if that's real religion and go, oh, is that what that's all about? And it's not what that's all about. But anyway, thank you so much for joining us. And I think you're going to enjoy this show and probably need to listen to it a few times to get all the facts down so that you are ready to make a difference. So, Trevor Loudon, it's great to have you on again.
Always good to catch up, Curtis. Good to see you.
Yes, I recently read your article, as many people did. It was titled, A New Zealander's 9 Starter Steps to Save America from Socialism. And it's just what we've been looking for. And before we get into those 9 steps that I'm going to have you talk about and explain to us and the importance of it, the beginning of that article says this, and people listen to this, and I'll tell you the tie-in I have to this from 12 years ago. It says, my message has always been the same. The United States is heading toward a brutally tyrannical socialist revolution, and if America goes down, every free country follows. Now, I met Trevor Loudon for the first time in the summer of 2009. And we got together in Seattle at a hotel, and he was a little nervous, I think, of who I was because he didn't know me. He's meeting me there. And we talked for about an hour and a half down in the lobby, and we found out that we had so many connections to all the people that I had interviewed for Agenda, that he had been reading their books and articles for decades. And we just had so much connections. I remember we were talking, all of a sudden realized we've been talking for almost a couple hours. We better go do the interview. But we hit it right off. But as I interviewed him, and I hope you've seen Agenda Grinding America Down, at the end, he said something when I asked him a question. This is 12 years ago. I said, Trevor, why in the world, as a New Zealander, do you care what happens to America? I don't get it. And I'm going to play that clip right now. Here's the clip from the end of Agenda 1. And you can see he has been consistent all these years in that message. But watch this, and then we'll talk.
Every time a civilization goes down or a country goes down, militarily or economically, somebody else fills the gap. Now, if you look around the world now, it's going to be China, which is massively arming. You've got Russia, which is becoming increasingly belligerent. You've got the radical Islamic world, which works hand in glove with the Russians and the Chinese all the time. You've got a virtually red Latin America. You've got a neutral socialist Europe. So America hasn't got a lot of friends left in the world. Now, that's just not going to affect America. That's going to affect every single remaining country in the free world. Who's going to stand up to China if America doesn't? Who's going to stand up to the Russians? Is Europe going to do it? Australia, New Zealand, Canada? Not a chance. If America, and this is the point I think Americans need to comprehend. If America goes down economically, it will go down militarily. If America goes down militarily, we all go down. The free world is finished, and it'll be finished for a very, very long time.
Did you listen to that carefully? He understood something I didn't quite get at that time. If America goes down, we all go down. All the free countries of the world suffer, and that's why our fight as Americans is so much more important than ourselves, just selfishly, oh, I want to be free. No, when America is free, when we are healthy and strong as a nation, and we are a blessing to the entire world, and we hold back so much evil, even communist countries, when America is strong and healthy, they can only do so much, and they know it. Red China knows that, yeah, they're abusing their citizens, but they have to try to hide as much as possible, because they know if America is strong and healthy, at some point there will be consequences, as like President Trump was giving them some consequences, saying, no, you can't just use slave labor. You can't abuse your people. We will not put up with that. And so that's why what we're going to talk about is so important. We're not fighting just for ourselves. We're fighting for the peoples of the world, where they have the hope of maybe getting to America one day themselves, but if nothing else, having an example of that's what we're trying to do in our country. We're trying to get a system like America has, and so that we can be free, our children can be free. And so that's why, again, it's so important. But I saw that in the article, Trevor, and it reminded me instantly of our first meeting. And I'm so glad that God kind of blessed that film to help spread your influence around our country, because it is so needed. And a lot of people realize when you go over to someone else's house, it's easy to spot, oh, they should be raising their kids this way, or they should be doing this. We're so good at spotting other people's problems. And that's why I love that a Kiwi, a New Zealander, came to America and said, okay, here's the problem, and here's what you need to do. And he sees it so crystal clear that, anyway, Trevor, I love that, because it is easier when you come from the outside to clearly see things that a lot of us have blinded ourselves to, because we're just stuck in the mire of being here. We've always been here. We've been brainwashed a lot with what we've learned over the years. And anyway, so it's very fitting that you would be the one to really lay out a very strategic, helpful plan for our country. So number one was, we need to face reality. Trevor, explain what you meant by that. What does that mean?
Well, look, I think a lot of Americans are still in denial, less than they were a little while ago. There's two camps. There's a lot of, we've seen this election stolen right in front of our eyes. And there are some people who still think, well, it wasn't really stolen. The military's still in control. President Trump's going to be restored pretty soon. Don't worry, there's a plan. That's just delusional. That kind of propaganda has been put out there by the enemy, by our enemies, to basically keep us sitting on our backsides. Just so, don't worry, it's all under control. Go and play golf, go fishing, do whatever you like. There's a plan, don't worry. Well, and other people don't understand what the consequences are here. We're in a communist revolution now. The Democratic Party is a communist organization now. And some of the Republicans are complicit. And a whole bunch of the Republicans are in complete denial. There's only a few of our leaders, President Trump being one of them, who actually see what we're in. We're at war with communist China, and we're in a revolution on our own soil, and we haven't got a lot of time left to turn it around. People say to me all the time, give us some hope. Give us some hope, Trevor. And I say, when you confront reality, then we can start to talk about hope. But there is no hope if you're not confronting reality. That's got to come first.
Right. And so you in the article were just talking about the Democratic plan. I mean, let me just mention a few of the things you mentioned here. The Democrats' plan to enfranchise 22 million illegal immigrants, abolish the Electoral College, gain at least four more far-left senators through Puerto Rico and D.C. statehood, flood the country with tens of millions more refugees and illegal immigrants. They also plan to nationally introduce voting reforms, which, of course, they are with H.R. 1, and on it goes. And the reason they're doing that, Trevor, is because they're at war with us, aren't they?
Yeah. Look, if Vladimir Lenin was in the White House right now, he'd be doing exactly what Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are doing. This is a Leninist plan to divide the enemy, to neutralize the enemy, to completely consolidate power, a massive power grab that can never be overthrown. This is as revolutionary as the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, the communist takeover of China, the conquest of Cuba. This is the same sort of playbook. The real model of it is probably Czechoslovakia in 1948. That's what we're experiencing in America, is how they took over Czechoslovakia then. But this is a communist revolution. This is Leninism at work here.
That's right. No. And so number one, that's number one, people. You have to be in reality of really realizing how dire this situation is. But then you slowly wake others up to that reality. Because when you see that, it helps you want to do something and be motivated. And that's what we need. So then number two was so powerful, Trevor. And this, we catch ourselves as conservatives doing this all the time. Number two, he said, stop all violent rhetoric. Okay, we're all prone to go, hey, we're going to second American Revolution and all this talk. But tell us why, Trevor, that is foolish talk, and the reality of what happened under Obama and what would happen if that ever were to be stirred up.
Yeah, look, I get people all the time saying, oh, I'm sick of elections. I'm sick of peaceful stuff. We've got all the guns. We're going to march on Washington. And the big, there's two big assumptions they make there. One is that the U.S. military would be on their side. The U.S. military would stand with the insurgents. Well, Obama had 8 years to get rid of 200 patriotic generals and put his people on top. Leftists, globalists, Princeton graduates, you know, and our generals, those people are loyal to the administration, you know, and they will fight Americans on American soil. So you got to fight the U.S. military. And then if by some miracle it looked like the insurgents were winning, then the Russians and the Chinese and the Cubans and the Iranians would come in to help the Democrats. They've almost got this country. You think they're going to let it slip out of their hands because a few Americans with our AR-15s rise up and march on Washington? We cannot win militarily here. We cannot win by force of arms. That's the lazy option. We've got here through being lazy. We've got here through not paying attention. We're not going to make it better by being lazy and foolhardy and putting innocent lives at risk. And anytime you see somebody on a feed or a Facebook group saying, yeah, we need a revolution, blah, blah, blah. Well, they've just flagged themselves to the FBI. And if you're stupid enough to agree with them or invite them into your groups, you've flagged yourself too. So they're either an idiot or they're an agent provocateur working for the government.
Yes, and I think the latter there is they want, like you said in here, they want us to do something so they can crack down to try to abolish the Second Amendment rights that we have. And so that's great advice.
Yeah, because there'll be false flags. If they can't get us to do something crazy, they'll do something crazy themselves and blame it on us. So the more peaceful we are, the more we drive the lunatics out of the movement, the better it's going to be for us, the harder it is for them to crack down, so we can regather our strength and build our numbers without giving them an excuse to come down on us.
That's right. No, it's great, great advice. And people, so we're working toward peaceful legal solutions, and those are the best solutions and the most influential in the long term. And so,
exactly.
No, that's great. No, that's a key thing, because we always do. The way you just stated it is the best I've heard. The idea of taking our country back through a revolution is a lazy alternative. It means you're going to wait until it's completely decimated and then we'll take it back. Instead, you're not willing to vote or to educate others or to do anything. And so that's exactly right. Don't, and stay away from those people, like he said, because you will be sucked into the little web of the false flag or whatever it might be. Number three, restore election integrity in all red states. This should be our main focus at the local level, individually in our little counties and in cities and states.
Yeah.
This is key. Talk about that for a minute, how vital that is.
Well, look, you know, there are several states. So you see, the blue states are not going to reform because they benefit, the Democrat states benefit from vote fraud. But there are 30 states with Republican legislatures, and many of them are working on restoring voter integrity now, restoring the trust in the elections. But I think they're missing two key elements in this, and this is where the popular pressure must come in, the citizens must get involved. There's two key things. We've got to, these reviews have got to include the banning of electronic voting machines and very stiff penalties for organized vote fraud. I'm talking 10, 15 year felonies. If you had 10 people go to jail for 10 years for committing vote fraud, if that had happened in the 2016 election, we wouldn't have had the problem in the 2020 election, I can assure you. And even if the electronic machines we continue to use are sound and actually do what they're supposed to do, most of our movement doesn't trust them. And this is the thing. If we go into the next election and this is not fixed, the Democrats are still going to vote because they know they're going to win. But a lot of Republicans won't. Why vote? They've got electronic voting machines. You saw what happened last time. It doesn't matter how many times you say, no, we fixed the problem. They're not connected to the internet. She says, oh, yeah, that's what they told us last time. Yeah, right, okay. But we've already seen that in Georgia. We had two Senate seats were lost in Georgia that should have been won because Republicans were so disgusted at the lack of effort to fix the election, to get on top of the vote fraud, that they said, oh, we're going to stay home. We're not going to bother. Now, because of those two seats being lost, we are in danger of losing this republic. So it's got to be, we've got to fix it in every red state we can. Then after 2022, if we get to that, we've got to expand that into the red counties of the blue states. Anywhere we can to fix vote elections, we've got to do it. And that can all be done locally.
That's right. So we're after ultimately every red county in America, taking total control of their elections to make sure they are free and fair, one vote per registered voter, and that would be just such a blessing. Because then you can have reform the way our founders intended us to have reform, through the voting booth, through just throwing the bums out. When they don't do what they say, we throw them out. But when you can't throw them out, then you are not free any longer. You are under a tyranny.
And then you either get people getting violent or just bowing out. You get either people completely leaving the political process or resorting to extremism. And neither of those is healthy.
Yeah. But they feel like that's all they can do. When you can't vote, you're like, well, what are we supposed to do? But they love creating that crisis. So that's what they're doing. Number four, close the Republican primaries immediately.
Well, that's right. Why would you allow your enemies to vote in your primaries? That is how Lindsey Graham has kept them hanging on in South Carolina for so long. That's how Lisa Murkowski, who's a very weak Republican, has hung on in a very conservative state like Alaska. Because the Democrats and even the communists go and vote in the primaries to pick the most left-wing, weakest Republican they can find. You know, if you're in the golf club, do you let the people from the tennis club come and vote for your president? You know, why would you do that? So you've got to properly close primaries so only Republicans can vote for Republicans. You'll find your legislatures and county commissions and Senate will be way, way more conservative because you won't have the left coming in diluting the conservative vote. You'll have conservatives voting for conservatives. And that's the way to get the Republican Party back on track.
That's right. And so when they're in there, they'll actually act like Republicans and be
like the people who voted for them. There's only five states in the union who have properly closed primaries. Only five states. And Idaho being one of them, and that's one of the more conservative states in the country.
That's right.
And that's not an accident that's the way it goes.
No. And that's the reason we did it. It happened while I lived there. Because we realize we're never getting conservative people in there, even though the population is 85% hardcore conservative, we still can't get anybody in there, and that's what was the result. Okay, then on to number five. Organize a compact of free states. Explain what you meant by that.
Well, look, this is already happening. The other day, 20 Republican-ruled states wrote to Joe Biden saying, if you come in with your HR1 and try and take away our control over our own elections, there will be consequences. What I mean is this. So I'll give you an example. The other day, President Biden said to the Florida Governor, Ron DeSantis, we want you to close all your restaurants in Florida, Mr. DeSantis. And Ron DeSantis says, no, we're not going to do that. Well, Biden says, well, we might have to stop air travel into Florida. So he could pick on one state, but if you had 30 states all joined together as a block, Biden could not do that to Florida and Texas and Louisiana and all the way up through to North Dakota, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, Missouri, whatever. You could have an alliance, a country within a country, an alliance of free states stretching all the way from the Canadian border to the Gulf of Mexico and the Florida Keys. You know, you have a block all the way through. And see, this is the 10th Amendment. I'm not talking secession. I'm talking the 10th Amendment. The way the Constitution was set up, you've got a federation of 50 states, all independent, and the federal government serves at their pleasure. So you cannot, the federal government cannot force unconstitutional measures on the free states if they band together. The federal government can bluff and bully, but if all the states band together, and these states have the water resources, they have the farmland, they have a big chunk of the economy, and then you build into that the red counties of the blue states, the red counties of California and Oregon, the red counties of Colorado and New Mexico and Illinois and New York. You've got 80% of the country. 80% of the country basically saying to the federal government, do not try and push us around. Do not try and force unconstitutional measures on us, because we will stand together. Like, another thing DeSantis is doing right now is he's going to fine big tech for suppressing conservative speech, right? And Texas is looking at that. Well, you imagine if we had 30 states all doing that? Big tech would become little tech very, very quickly.
Oh, wouldn't that be so nice? No, that's great. Well, that's it. So again, so people, that's things we can be working for. Maybe you know some state representatives in your state. Hopefully you do. Hopefully you know your own. And you could call them and talk about these ideas. Representatives love when people call and talk to them about real solutions, because they sometimes don't know what to do. But when you say, hey, here's things other states are doing, they love that. They sometimes don't like to be the first one doing something because they're kind of cowards by nature. But if another state has done that, I remember in Idaho, when another state had done something, if I said, hey, why don't we do what Wyoming's done? A lot of people were open to that. But when I said, let's do something no one's done, well, they were just scared to death. But if someone else had done it, then they're motivated to do it. So that's something you could share with your representatives and other people in influence in your state, because that's what we need to do. Now, number six, Trevor, Republic Review. Talk about that.
See, one of the ways the federal government controls the states is through federal grants. You know, they'll say, like Montana, I think they had no speed limits on their roads. You know, you drove to the conditions. So the federal government couldn't say, no, you've got to change that. But they would say, we won't give you any highway grants if you allow people to speed on, you know, to travel at any speed on those highways. The federal government gives most states about 10% of their education budget, about 10%. But the Department of Education has 100% control. So I'm saying, let's get rid of the 10%. We'll probably save 15% on compliance costs anyway. Let's just run our own education in each state. So every state needs to look at the money they're getting from the federal government and the relationship they have to restore the proper balance. If it means getting rid of the money and having your own state sovereignty, that's what you do. Yeah. You know, because then the states don't have, the federal government doesn't have leverage on you. And if all the 33 states band together and form an economy within an economy, and help each other out in all sorts of ways, the federal government would become irrelevant and their instructions would become irrelevant. And then you get all the people in the red counties and the blue states saying, oh, I want to be part of this. Let's join up these southern states of Virginia. Let's join up with West Virginia, those northern counties of Colorado. Let's join up with Wyoming, you know? And so you would gradually form a nation within a nation that's protecting each other, trading with each other, and sidelining the federal government. Yeah. But you've got to be prepared to give up the federal money. And what a scam it is, because you get, for every $1 million you get from the feds, you send $1.2 million in taxes. So, you know, and you pay all the compliance costs that go with it as well. So So it's not actually a very good deal. And you're far better running an independent state, running your own education system, your own transport systems, your own welfare systems. You'd be far better off.
Yes. No, that is encouraging and a great thing. Just education alone, just think we could totally get our state to completely pull out of the federal education and then get different curriculum and everything. The nice thing is because homeschooling has built up to such a large crowd of millions of kids nowadays, there's tons of great curriculums out there that the public school system could use that aren't all biased and twisted and just propaganda for the kids. So that's already there. So a state could say, we're just picking one of these that has real American history, that has real mathematics, that has real science, that has real, and it would just be such a blessing. Well, that's
incredible. Look, America had the best public education system in the world for 200 years until the Department of Education came along and ruined it all over the country. We all know we're losing our kids, and not every family can homeschool. So while we have public schools, let's make them state, locally controlled, so parents can have a real input in what their kids are taught. Is that a wacky, way out, far out idea, Curtis?
No, it's. It's about time we got back to that because, yeah, the heartbreak I see as I travel the country of the parents that have lost their children. I just got an email this week from someone that loves the agenda stuff, and their daughter is wanting to transition to a boy, and because the influence of the public schools, it's just a nightmare. They're in a nightmare because their child has been brainwashed in the schools. Yeah. Okay, so then number seven. Oh, this is a key one here. Form a multi-state America First popular alliance. And before you tell us what that would look like, tell the people for a second how the left does this with our revolution, what that kind of looks like.
The left has a group called Our Revolution. It has various names like Our Revolution Idaho, maybe Progressive Chicago, whatever, but they're all part of the Our Revolution Network, and they have 600 branches in 50 states. And these are all radicals gathered together, and they're not part of the Democratic Party, but they all register as Democrats and vote in the Democratic primaries. So that's how they got Ocasio-Cortez. That's how they got Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar. That's how they're taking over the Democratic Party and turning it into a completely communist party. And a mass organization independent of the Democratic Party, but that goes into the Democratic primaries and votes out the moderates and votes in the communists. And it's run by Democratic Socialists of America and the Communist Party USA and Liberation Road, the pro-Chinese communist group. So we're going to do that on our side. We've already got the Tea Party movement. We've got the Trump movement. We've got a lot of independent groups out there. I've seen four groups set up around me in Florida in the last month. We've got this real network growing. So you sort of have an umbrella group. You call it, it's got to be called America First, I reckon. And it's an umbrella group for all of these groups. So when Trump, and this is what he says he's going to do, but even if he doesn't do it, we can still do it. He's currently vetting candidates to stand against all the rhinos in 2022. All the people who voted to sign off on the election, the people who voted to censure him, the bad Republicans. So, and he's getting a whole bunch of good conservative MAGA type Republicans. So we have this big network that operates. And when those primaries come up, we all can go and register Republican or even register Democrat in some areas. And you go in and vote for all the MAGA candidates and against all the rhinos. In one election cycle, you would basically take over the GOP and chunks of the Democratic Party, you know, in the sort of rural districts and more conservative Democratic districts. So you're not subject to Republican Party discipline, but you register Republicans so you can vote in their primaries, and then you vote out every rhino Republican in name only you can, and flood the party with MAGA grassroots conservatives. That would totally sideline the Mitch McConnells of the world and the Kevin McCarthy's. you would have a transformed party, an America First party, effectively. And I think we've already got the backbone of this out there now. We just have to make it more formal and get ready to support Trump and get ready to vote in those primaries in 2022. And the local county commissions and the some states have off-year elections as well. So we're going to be, you know, getting in all those elections.
Yes, no, that's a great idea. And that's, we just need to do more organizing like Obama and Acorn, all those groups were doing for decades set things up where they were in total control. I mean, the radical 1/10 of 1% of America is in total control of our country.
And we've got all the voting power, we've got all the money, we've got most of the land resources, and we get bullied around by these 1%, 1/10 of 1% out on the coast who basically tell us what to do and are trying to destroy our country. And we let them do it because we're not fighting back and we have everything in our favor.
That's right. And we need to start changing that. And that's the point of this, is to sober people. That's everything I've done the last 12 years, the films, everything, was to wake people up to, hey, this is serious. So they would be wanting to act and willing to act for our country.
Well, I think the agenda, especially the first movie, I think that's what won the Republicans the House in 2010. I think your movie had a massive impact on that. Look, that movie has had a massive impact on Brazil. You know, Bolsonaro won in Brazil to a large degree because of your movie, Curtis. So this has a big impact all around.
That's funny you knew that. I a guy just from Brazil this last week interviewed me and was talking, and there's a famous professor from there, and I can't remember his name right
Olavo
now.
Olavo de Carvalho.
Yes. He, in 2010, right when I made that movie, he emailed me and said, we are being taken over in Brazil right now by the Marxists. Can I take your movie and translate it into Portuguese? And I gave it to him. I said, you can have the movie, all the rights to it in Portuguese, spread it. And he made hundreds of thousands of copies and just distributed it to all the churches, all the conservative groups. And that guy that was interviewing me just a week ago on a Brazil station said, your movie, everyone in Brazil knows Agenda. Yes, they've
well,
seen
they
that.
Do, yeah.
Which is so neat because, again, as a Christian, it's so neat to see what God does with your work when you're just faithful. I had no way to do that, but he had someone do that for me. It has gotten around to so many people that I'm like, how'd you get it? And they say, oh, someone gave it to me. And it's just, anyway, it's another testimony of all of you. You think your little efforts to do whatever you're supposed to do, well, it's not going to make a big difference. Oh, yes, it is. God never wastes any of our efforts when we're standing for what is right, for the right reasons, and we're wanting to stand for the truth. That's all this battle is about, proclaiming the truth. We don't want to be deceived by lies. All the Marxists do are deceive us with lies and propaganda. Like Stalin said, any lie that advances the communist conquest is by definition not a lie, but the Marxist-Leninist truth. That is their worldview. Ours is no. We are about truth. So anyway, that's a thank you for reminding me.
Those little sparks, because you don't know where that spark is going to set aflame. You don't know that one person that you talk to may be the next state rep, may write a fantastic book, may make a video. You know, you don't know.
That's right.
And so, but you know it will be used. You know that truth can never be extinguished.
That's right. No, it's so important. Okay, then on to number 8, and we had a show about this about a month or so ago, but boycott and boycott big time. And again, that's about us getting serious about using our dollars to promote the good and defund the bad. And talk about that for a second, Trevor.
Yeah, well, it should be a matter of course that all of us should be not buying any goods made by the Communist Party of China. You know, because if you're buying Chinese Communist Party products now, that's like buying Nazi products in 1938. It's immoral and it's suicidal. And you should also look at your portfolio. build your investment portfolio, because a lot of companies are investing in China that you don't know. A lot of them are investing in the People's Liberation Army. Trump passed an executive order just before the election because some of the big investment companies in America were going to take U.S. military pensions, the pensions of your warfighters, and invest them in Chinese companies tied to the People's Liberation Army. So, you know, he had to stop that. But this is the kind of insanity going on. But so every group, every local group on a local level, you should be drawing up lists of the friendly businesses in your area and the unfriendly businesses in your area, and circulating those lists so you support your friends and you starve your enemies. Another very good idea, I think, is we do sequential boycotts. From April, you start boycotting Bed Bath & Beyond, okay? That's a publicly traded company that's already in financial trouble, and they said, they accused President Trump of instigating a riot falsely. Then they stopped stocking Mike Lindell's pillows as a result. Well, if 80 million MAGA people said, we're not going to buy any more from Bed Bath & Beyond until you apologize for what you said or you go under, at the same time, we all buy a pillow. We boycott too. We all buy a pillow. We all buy some sheets from Mike Lindell. Then the next month, you bring in another company, and maybe like Coles or somebody like that, who did a similar thing. Then the third month, you start another company. By the time you had three or four companies frozen into these boycotts, you would see a big back off from some of the major companies out there. When you saw companies going under because 80 million MAGA people voted against, you know, refused to shop with them, you'd see a very big change in the culture out there.
Yes, and to be so vital. And you can do that at the local level too. If in your town there's some radical stores that are pushing anti-American propaganda, organize people, print up a flyer on them and get it around at church, get it around at your group, say, don't go to that business. You're funding the enemy when you do that.
Yeah, they got a big Black Lives Matter sign on their window and they're at the local rallies. Don't give them your dollars, you know? Why do you fund your enemies? You know, during World War II, we were not allowed to buy German goods, were we? We were not allowed to buy Japanese goods because you are funding your own enemy when you do that. Well, we're at war now with part of America, and we're at war with China and Iran and some other countries. Why would we give them any of our money? Why would we give them money so they can come and kill our children? Why would you do that?
That's right. No. Well, that's a key thing in there. It's very effective.
Well, that's how the Indians got the British out of India. You know, in the 1940s, they didn't have a war. They didn't have a revolution. There was no terrorism. They just said, Gandhi said, let's boycott all British businesses in India. And the British just gave up. We can't make any money here. Let's go home. And that's how India won its independence. Very simple.
That's pretty neat. All right, on to number 9. Remove malign foreign influence at state level. Talk about that for a minute.
One of America's biggest problems, we've got massive networks here of Chinese spies and agents, Iranians, Cubans, Russians, Venezuelans, Syrians, North Koreans, all working to corrupt our businesses, to buy our infrastructure, to corrupt our politicians. Ratcliffe, who was Trump's intelligence advisor, says that the Chinese had corrupted so many American politicians, they could decide which legislation passed Congress and which didn't. That's how much power. So we can't do that federally right now, but right now Ron DeSantis is working on legislation. He is going to crack down on the influence of 7 foreign countries in Florida. That's Russia, China, Syria, Iran, North Korea, Cuba, and Venezuela. He's going to drive their businesses out of the state. He's going to expose their criminal activities. He's going to give them a very hard time. Well, if 33 states did that, you would drive so much corrupt foreign influence out of this country. This country would look so different. We don't realize how much damage they are doing to us. in our education system, selling drugs to our kids, criminal activity, mortgage fraud, all these criminal things that have been done by hostile foreign actors. Get them out of the states. And when we take back power in 2024, God willing, get it out of the country entirely. There's certain foreign states that should not be allowed to operate in this country. You know, it's like bringing the Chinese into your city. It's like bringing the mafia into your city. Yeah, you'll make a little bit of money, but what damage will they do to you?
That's right. No, it's common sense, but it's things that we haven't been doing like we should. We've allowed them to creep into every area of our country and start having more and more and more influence. And they're using that influence for a reason. They have an agenda, even if we don't.
Look, in 2018, Iranian money elected four Democrats, Senate, congressmen. Iranian money. Why are we allowing that to happen? You know, is Iran our friend? You know, the Iranian people are people like anyone else, but the Iranian government is completely hostile to us. You know, both China and Russia were heavily involved in Black Lives Matter, particularly China. They burned 100 cities in America. Why are we allowing them to operate here? Why are we allowing them to steal our businesses, buy our farms, buy our infrastructure, corrupt our politicians? Why are we allowing that? You know, why not buy American and have Americans running America? Wouldn't that be a novel idea?
It sure would be. No, that is great. Well, no, that's wonderful. And then, Trevor, I added a number 10 to your list. Number 10 is we need to pray that God would bless our little feeble efforts to make a difference, that he would have us influence the person that influenced the person that makes the movie or writes the book, that he would just take our little loaves and fishes and feed the 5,000 like he has done many times in the past. That's what he did with Agenda. He took my little nothing and he spread it all over. And that's what he will do with your efforts too. Sometimes we get to see it on this earth, sometimes we don't. But we need to be praying, God, would you bless my efforts, and would you direct my path? Each of you have different skills and different abilities and different things that you can do involved in this list to help move forward in the right direction. And so you need to be praying about that. God, what part of that could I do? What connections have you given me that I would be able to meet with that person or go take their state rep out or go out to dinner with the governor? I know some people in states that watch Agenda Weekly, they have dinner with the governor. So they could present that to him and say, here's some facts. Have you thought about this? And but the key is that we are faithful to do something. I want to read.
Well, faith gives you courage.
That's right.
And we need courage.
That's right.
And faith is the foundation of courage. If you believe your efforts can be blessed, if you believe that by doing the right thing, you'll be blessed, and that whether you're blessed or not, just doing the right, have faith that doing the right thing is what God wants you to do. If you have that, well, you can achieve fantastic things. But it's having the courage, isn't it? We can have all the talents in the world we want. We can have all the talents. But if we don't have an ounce of courage, it's worth nothing. It's better to have a bit of courage and a little bit of talent than have a whole lot of talent and no courage. And faith gives you courage.
That's absolutely right. And I just want to close with a few verses from Psalms. King David, who always had enemies against him, always coming against him. He was just constantly at battle his whole life. But he has some verses here in Psalm 2. He said, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth have set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." They don't want God's laws. They don't want morality. That's why they're trying to sink the ship, where we just crumble into an immoral culture because they're rebelling against God. But then he says this. He says, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure." And then in Psalm 50:80 says this. I just love this because this is why we are supposed to love our enemies and be kind. But God is the one that does justice and righteousness, and he destroys what is evil. And so that should also help our hearts rest, knowing, okay, my job is to stand for the truth and be a blessing to those around me, and I'm going to let God destroy the enemy because he's so good at doing that. But it says in Psalm 58, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. Break, and then King David says this, I so relate to him because the evil of the left just vexes my spirit, and I know it does a lot of yours as well. And that's what King David says. He says, break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out the great teeth of the young lions, O Lord. Let them melt away as waters which run continually. When he bendeth his bow to shoot his arrows, let them be as cut in pieces. As a snail which melteth, let every one of them pass away, like the untimely birth of a woman, that they may not see the sun. And then he closes with this. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, so that a man shall say, verily, there is a reward for the righteous. Verily, he is a God that judgeth in the earth. Their plans will ultimately fail, I promise you, because there is a God, and he is righteous, and he hates what they are doing. But he is very long-suffering. He is very patient with all of us, which is a good thing. And Psalm 5:5 says, thou hatest the workers of iniquity. God hates the wicked. I know the current modern church movement paints it as, God loves every... No, God hates the wicked, but he is merciful with them. But his wrath is hanging over them. And as old Jonathan Edwards said over 200 years ago in America, as he was preaching through the countryside, he said, they are as heavy as lead, walking on a rotten floor over the flames of hell and only being held up by a spider's web. And it's only the mercy of God that they are still in existence. And we need to pray that they repent and get saved. But if they don't, they have what is coming to them because God is a righteous God and he hates what is evil.
Yeah, ultimately we all have to understand that justice will be done.
That's right.
We may see it done, we may not see it done, but it will be done.
That's right. No one's getting away with anything. But thank you, Trevor, for being on
here.
Thank you, people, for being with us. And I hope you'll take this and spread it and listen to it and do some of these things. Get some of these things started right where you live, because I think God will bless our efforts as we do this. But until next week, God bless you.